today on The Bill Kelly Show on 900 CHML.
The economy's performed a lot better than most anybody thought. I mean, go back 6, 8, 12 months, and if you tell someone, told someone in my seat or any economist that overnight policy rates would be at 4.5% and the economy would still be hanging in there, I don't think they'd believe you.
It's Benjamin Reitzes, who's a BMO economist, talking about the Bank of Canada's actions over the last little while that a lot of people were concerned and maybe thought there wasn't going to be a rate hike last time around because things seemed to be getting better, but apparently not. But what they're doing now is trying to be more transparent and give us some sort of idea as to what criteria they're actually evaluating. And I don't know if that assuages anybody's concerns about the higher rates, but it's the way things are these days. I want to bring our next guest in to talk about this, Moshe Lander, who is a senior economics lecturer at Concordia University. Moshe, pleasure to have you back on the program. Before this, was there any idea at all about the boxes that these guys checked or what they were actually looking for? I mean, they want to see inflation be tamed and everything, but a lot of people were thinking, wait a second here, we're over the worst of this. Why did they raise rate hikes again? Give me your thoughts on what happened and why.
Yeah, I don't think that they were looking at anything that was unusual, right? They're looking at GDP and to see if the economy is tipping into recession. They're taking a look at the labor market to see if there's any sign of wage pressure. They're taking a look at foreign factors and how that influences Canada and what that means in terms of the exchange rate. So, you know, the fact that they're publishing this is somewhat reassuring then, I think, for the general public that it's not just some sort of black box that nobody really understands why they do what they do. To economists, we look at it and say, yeah, that's what we would have been looking at too if we had to make the decision.
It's because I know a lot of people, as we talked about this on the program, were thinking, well, you know, how did they make that decision? Well, Mr. Backman just said it's not dead yet. Just, you know, keep kicking at it here. And maybe that's for the best anyway. And I guess when you put this in context, I think you mentioned this the last time you were talking with us. When you look at the Federal Reserve is doing south of the border, Canada really had no choice here. I mean, you know, when they say this is going to happen for the next little while, we can't be up here and simply saying, don't worry, the worst is over. It just doesn't, we usually work that way. We're pretty much, you know, tied at the hip, aren't we?
We are, but I think we're going to see something interesting at the next meeting where we're going to see that there's a disconnect between the Fed and the Bank of Canada. Normally, you're right. When the Fed moves, we usually match them, but I think we're doing better with inflation than the Americans are, and I think that we're going to put a pause on rates for a while and let the Americans go do their own thing. The interesting aspect is going to be what that does to the Canadian dollar and if that Canadian dollar movement itself brings inflation back into this country.
Well, and one of the things that I guess is somewhat confusing to some people is, you know, we're talking about employment, and this is a bit of a different kind of a financial situation that we're in right now because employment's not a major problem. But we still hear about worker shortages, though, Moshe. And as you said, and as Mr. Macklin has reiterated, if you know, they're having trouble finding employees, there's a possibility that wages are going to be impacted, I mean, positively for the employee. But in the same token, that means, you know, that the inflation battle is not over. That's really just kind of fueling the fire, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's the amazing thing is that the inflation that we've been seeing over the last 12 months or so has not been because of wage price inflation, right? Wages have remained relatively tame. And that's the thing, of course, that has employees very upset. The thing is that if workers do get their way and start trying to make up for lost time, they get 5-10% raises, well, businesses are going to have to pass that along in some capacity, and that becomes inflationary as well then. And so, you know, where the Bank of Canada is looking is they're saying, because there are these labor shortages, because there are still gaps in the labor market, that is the perfect environment for this wage price inflation to show up. And so that's what has them a little bit worried. And that's, again, one of those things that they're going to look at in the coming months, that when they talk about the economy remaining resilient, and that's a good thing in some extent, but it's a bad thing elsewhere, that if it's resilient, that means that there's businesses still looking for workers, and that gives workers leverage in negotiation.
And I don't think we've seen any outrageous settlements yet, but you're suggesting that the possibility still exists for that. Or the other side of that coin, of course, is the company says no, and you've got yourself a labor, you know, confrontation. There's all sorts of different circumstances that can come out of this.
Yeah. And again, you know, we've seen that back in the summer, the governor of the Bank of Canada was saying something to Labour along the lines of, you're just going to have to eat this one and accept it. And of course, that upset a lot of people that why are we being made to suffer because of inflation that's not of our doing? And in this particular case, what he was trying to say was, you know, you're only going to make the problem worse. You're only going to make it so that we have to increase interest rates more and more aggressively if you do get your way with these labor negotiations. So it's kind of a no-win situation. And that's why when you and I have been talking in the past, I keep saying that this is kind of a once-in-a-generation sort of inflation that we're experiencing. It's not the normal demand-driven alone. It's demand-driven along with supply constraint issues. And it's that supply constraint issue that continues to pose a problem for the Bank of Canada in deliberating what to do.
I want you, if you could, Moshe, address something else. Some emails I'm getting over the last couple of days since some of the comments from Mr. Macklin this week. We know that we're at about, it's just over 6%, I guess, inflation. The goal, they tell us, is a little over two, maybe. How long is that going to take? I mean, you know, are we near that? Is it all of a sudden going to fall off, or is this going to be done so incrementally that it's going to at least maybe another year, 14 months?
Yeah, so I would say that at the end of this year, beginning of next year, we should be able to ease gently into that 1-3% range that that the Bank of Canada likes, and that's actually good for the Canadian economy. Remember that interest rate increases take about 12 to 18 months to have their maximum impact. And so the big interest rate increases that came in the summer of 2022 wouldn't hit that maximum impact until the end of this year, beginning of next year. So there's still an entire range of interest rate increases that came in 2022 that haven't fully worked their way through the economy yet. So we're going to see in the coming months that in the absence of any sort of surprises about balloons or ongoing wars and disruptions to supply chains, we should see that that number is going to come down smoothly down to that 2% range, you know, in 12 months.
Well, we're looking for light at the end of the tunnel. I think I see it way back. Oh, yeah, it's way, way down there. Okay. And we'll hold, I'm not going to hold anybody at anything these days. As I say, if we've learned one thing over the last couple of years, it's extraneous factors can pop up at any time and change this whole dynamic. Thanks for spending some time with us this morning, Moshe. Always a pleasure.
Anytime.
Moshe Landau, economics lecturer at Concordia University.
The Bill Kelly Show, weekdays from 9 to noon on 900 CHML.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.